We on?
We're on.
Are we on? We're on. Okay, good.
Roll call. Catherine Von Cuffner.
Kevin.
Joanne Myers.
Yeah.
Charles Landy.
Here.
Lisa Mitten.
Here.
Tom Kakandis is not here yet. Kenneth Gilligan is here. Timothy DeGraff.
Here.
Charlie Whitaker is on his way. Angelina Brandt.
Here.
Linda France.
She's floating around. She's helping follow us.
How about Larry Ricky? Is he coming?
Yeah, he should be with Charlie.
Okay. Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Do we have any public comment? The chair has some comments. In the last meeting, I said that Ruben would be finishing up his GIS study. I lied. It turned out that he went on vacation. I didn't realize he was going away on vacation. So he has returned the other couple of days ago from Nova Scotia, and I believe he's doing some more work. But as we're going along, more items are getting added to the list, such as presence of endangered species and other things that would make sites not suitable. I would like to address what was reported in the newspaper about what took place at the Town of Ulster Council meeting most recently, where Mr. Secreto and Mr. Van Cleek were complaining that they were being dumped on by us and that they didn't want a landfill in their town, and also that they were complaining about the compost issue, which makes me believe that for some reason they are either deaf, hard of hearing, or I don't know what their problem was, because we did go to a meeting on the 20-something, a Thursday.
July 15th.
What day?
July 15th.
Oh, July 15th, okay. It was another day. I had a dental appointment. I was trying to manage them off to figure out which day. Okay, July 15th, we went to their town board meeting. Larry Ricky, Jim DeGraff, and myself, we went through the whole process of investigating the smells, and our compost is not the smell that one can detect over at the bridge. It's a septic tank or septic sewage system that is owned by the town of Ulster, and it's below the bridge and slightly north. And then another smell, one of them was complaining about East Kingston. And I can tell you, much closer to East Kingston is the Callanan Quarry, and in that quarry there's an asphalt plant. And if you know what asphalt smells like, you will never forget it. 10 times worse than compost could ever be, even worse than the sewage system. So I don't know what's the matter with these guys, but they are telling falsehoods. And I suggest maybe we should consider reducing or removing the host community fee that we are paying to the town of Ulster, since I don't think maybe they don't even know, since they didn't listen to what we had to say about the other smell matters. I don't know, but that is my opinion, and that's what I have to say.
Can I suggest? I mean,
sure.
What it sounds like is a not in my backyard issue.
Mm-hmm.
Where would they like their garbage to go? In whose backyard? And I think that should be.
Well, I can say that quickly the supervisor did say one thing, or reportedly said one thing, that it was unlikely that they would find a place to put a landfill in the town of Ulster, which I would agree with him. I think he's probably right, although I don't have any evidence one way or the other at this point in time. So I don't know, we have to find, we have to do something.
There is something called the Dutch process, for citing things. It's called Dutch.
Okay, I just.
Like the Netherlands?
Yeah, and what it does is that in citing things, it adds a cost to it, if it's not going to, you know, to sort of jump over the Not in My Backyard. And I'll have to find you some work on that, but it's a way of making decisions.
Oh, you mean like.
So there's actually.
Benefits to the host community.
Yeah, and payments and you know, so.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Well, certainly that would be on the table if we were citing a landfill. I mean, we will have to discuss that.
Yeah.
So that's not, you know, hidden or anything. It's a likelihood.
Kathy, just touch on a little bit. I don't mean to cut anybody off. And Tim will probably get into it when he gets into the reports. So you'll see an increase, uptick in garbage. Most of that went down to New Paltz. That's the burn plant that was down. It has recovered somewhat. And Westchester is having a lot of difficulty also because of the flood with the rain and everything going down there, the waste energy plants. So I hand that to you because you just asked the magical question. Where's the waste going to go? But I want to say this, that we transported and removed any excess waste that came into both of our facilities, you know what I mean, by the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So it is being handled and it did go to a landfill. So where would the waste go?
Mm-hmm.
Right. If we weren't here, we seem to be everybody's backup plan.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to just point that out.
Well, I think it's important that we know that and that the public know that. Because, you know, plus, I've said this many times, and this is nothing new, that I don't really honestly think a landfill is the best thing, the best disposal method. Once you bury it, someone's going to want to dig it up. I really am much more in favor of some sort of waste-to-energy project than I am in terms of a landfill. But there was discussion that we should consider a landfill, and so we had that fellow who was interested in doing the GIS who didn't have a lot of experience, and he backed out, so I said, okay, I know somebody who has a lot of experience in GIS work. And I do too, but I don't like it. It's not my favorite kind of work to do. It's just not my thing. I'm capable, but so I picked someone who I knew would do a really good job. So that's where we're at.
But even with the waste to energy plant, and this is going back to my time at the Office of Resource Recovery in New York City, you still need a landfill because there's not everything can be burnt. Not everything can be.
I'm not talking about burning.
But I'm just saying that, you know, looking at the range of waste energy plants. You know, you can't.
The processes that I'm interested in, my understanding is that one of the things that comes out of it that's not a commodity would be a material like stone or like small gravel rock pieces, which those could, I don't know why they couldn't be a beneficial use and used in highway construction.
Yeah, I understand, so, and I think that we should be looking at everything, but Madam Chair, I do remind you that we are a board, so
right.
It's not just your decision.
Right, yes.
So I also want to just touch on something. So water, right, whether it's a wet system using millions and millions of gallons of water daily, whether it's air, waste of energy, you know, our the earth that we grow things on, you know, pick your poison.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is that we should be reducing waste. And that's what our mission has been, it still is. I was looking at the reports, we did like 70 tons of cardboard out of the transfer station, which is 3 track and trailer load. That's every box that comes in with stuff that we dumped out and recycled.
Mm-hmm.
So while we are trying to find the solution for all this waste, you know what I mean? I think that, you know, everybody, it's not just the resource recovery in Ulster County, 187,000 people. You know, Rockland County is about 399, Westchester County's got 1 million. You know, we just produce too much garbage. And what do?
Mm-hmm.
6 months later, we throw it away. So right now there's a problem with cardboard. You'll see the prices go up. Because China's struggling to get all the cardboard to replace. Why? So they can make stuff to sell us. So we can throw it away after 6 months. Most of it anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, and can I piggyback on that, Charles? Yeah. So the other piece, because I sit every week with a group looking at zero waste.
Mm-hmm.
It is, we deal here with everything that comes in. We have to try to reduce that waste stream. But there's mm-hmm. a whole bunch that is actually the average citizen and resident, makes. I mean, that's where we have to start working. But I don't know if that's our problem. That's not our primary problem. That should be the legislature. That should be the environmental protection people. That should be a whole bunch of other people. What we're charged with here is to dispose, and reduce what we dispose of as environmentally soundly as mm-hmm. possible.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy, I said it, I'm going to beat it again. Lisa, I don't want to say it. These lawmakers have to do something with the recycling law. They have to put somebody in place so we can do our job and enforce it. So instead of coming up with these ghost stories, right, to sell tickets to the haunted house on compost, this is the stuff we should be looking at. And we're not doing it.
Because mm-hmm.
we're trying to sell tickets to the haunted house.
I felt for quite a while that DEC has been really totally remiss in recycling. I mean, when was the last time they had any ideas of reduction and disposal and all the rest of it? It's like the state is falling apart.
We have gone backwards on recycling.
They
the single stream ruined it.
Trying to figure out better ways to do it
than
what we're doing. And the public has got to be made aware. That's the biggest problem right there.
So way back when, I used to take the public on tours of Freshkill on Saturdays mm-hmm. on my day off. Legislators, the public, so they can see, because most people put, at that point, it was 7.5 pounds of garbage for every man, woman, child, and dog. Was put outside, 22,000 mm-hmm. tons of MSW every single day. And they mm-hmm. had to see where it was going. So I arranged bus tours to Festival.
Well, now, if you go over near the railroad tracks that go through Kingston,
mm-hmm.
I have a client whose building backs up to that railroad track, and you bring your nose, you will smell the garbage train.
Mm-hmm.
Coming out of New York City, I guess.
That's where it's coming from. That's correct.
For mm-hmm. sure. Yeah. But you gotta do better.
But it's not, and it's not just we. It's like we, everybody.
The big we, from the governor right on down. The whole United States should be.
Yeah, the whole everybody.
And I agree with everything you're saying. You mentioned Fresh Kills. Back about 5 or 8 years ago, when the DEC insisted that New York City shut down Fresh Kills because they couldn't continue to dump there.
It was closed before the millennium, and then reopened for the World Trade Center after 9/11.
But the point I want to make is that the 6 million tons that was generated that was going out of New York City to Freshkills is now going to Seneca Meadows, which is shortening the life of Seneca Meadows to the point it has become an urgency for this agency.
I'm totally aware.
No, I agree with
New York City has actually taken a lot of steps to work towards zero waste because of their politics. We need to do that here in Ulster County too.
Okay. The
is there a report of what they've done?
Somewhere there is.
That would be very interesting.
Yeah, but remember, I haven't been in the Department of Sanitation in many years.
So the urgency becomes when Seneca Meadows shuts down, which may be 2 or 3 years from now. We're not quite sure. Have you heard anything more about that, Tim? No.
Charlie, can I just interject really quick? I just want to be really, really clear. All that waste that you're talking about that went to the
Freshkills,
the Staten Island landfill, it's not all going to Seneca. It's going to Pennsylvania. It's going to Ohio. It's going to the Chemung landfill. It's going to the Waste Management's landfill. It's going to C&D places, right, Larry? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not. It's been broken up. It's not all. I want to just be really clear about that. That's not all going to Seneca Meadows.
Mm-hmm.
So, Seneca Meadows is a large landfill. It takes a lot of waste, but it doesn't take all the waste. You know, so you have other big landfills up there that are in just as much trouble as Seneca Meadows. Ontario is in just as much trouble. High Acres is in just as much trouble. Seneca Meadows, it's not just a Seneca Meadows thing. So I want to be really clear.
Well, the reason I pointed out Seneca Meadows is that's where our trash is.
No, I get it, but okay. I want to just make sure all the waste that went to Staten Island is not just going to Seneca Meadows.
So to this agency, most importantly, is what's happening to Seneca Meadows. And we can't seem to get a handle on it. We know there's a lawsuit going on between the town of Waterloo and Seneca Meadows. Seneca Meadows wants to extend its permit, and the town of Waterloo doesn't want it to extend its permit. And so there's a battle going on there. And so let me carry this thought out. So when we're notified that there's no place up at Seneca Meadows, even though other people are going to, well, we know other people are going to it. Just in New York City is going to it also. What will we do at that point in time? Do we have a rail drop-off, or do we have some place where we can start to send it? Have you or Tim, I'm sure, have thought about this? What happens then?
We have, and I have that answer. The answer is exactly what Kathy said in the very beginning. While I understand your reason for bringing these things up, right, because it's a crisis, but it's a crisis for every landfill. The problem is what Kathy said in the very beginning. We can't just keep burying trash. So this isn't a landfill problem, this is a trash problem. So I just want to make sure we're clear on that. So what are we doing? We're doing everything that everybody else is doing. We're kicking the can. But we should be reducing waste, and there should be enforcement behind reducing waste, and there's not.
We've been kicking the can since before.
Charlie, I agree with everything you're saying. However, this is not a subject that just popped up just now. This subject that we are discussing here and now has been going on since 1986.
No, it's
1980, I went to the...
The agency was... That's right. The agency was initiated in 1986, okay. My understanding. And it's this subject that we are kicking around here now is still going on. And, I appreciate everything, Madam Chairman, that you're waiting for another miraculous waste system to appear so that we can sign on to it. In the meantime, we have an urgency that is bearing down on us that we have no answers to.
I want to say this. Westchester doesn't. Rockland doesn't. Orange doesn't.
That doesn't make it right, Charlie.
It doesn't.
That doesn't
make it right. It doesn't make us the only ones. And this is not a...
I didn't say we were the only ones.
This is not a landfill problem. This is a waste problem. This is a consumer problem. We are buying way too much and using way too much and throwing away too much when there's a lot of things that are going to landfills that can be recycled. Metals, plastics, cardboard, fibers. The focus should be really on reducing the waste, not trying to find the landfill or expanding it or building a $100 million waste to energy plant.
But there's always going to be residue that has to go someplace.
And I just want to say this. The concept of the RRA, Resource Recovery Agencies, came up in the mid-70s. So it wasn't, by the time we were developed and born and stuff, it was the 80s. But the thought came up in the 70s, back when we had a lot of problems with contamination.
It didn't become an agency, Charlie, until 1986.
Right. But the concept was in the mid-70s.
The point I was trying to make was that since 1986, we have been debating this subject, and we still don't have an answer.
Well, okay. No, the answer was putting laws for recycling into place, and we did, 1991, right? And we amended those laws.
That didn't answer it.
No, but what you have to do is you have to look at, let's reduce the waste as much as we possibly can. Instead of trying to find a home for 2.5 million tons of waste, like Seneca takes every year, it's a lot easier if there's maybe a million tons of waste.
Let me tell you something. If you're talking about waste reduction, I'm 100% with you. But there's going to be something that you're not going to be able to reduce. Charlie, if you were to pull one of those tractor MBI and got to do tractor trailers over and dumped it on the side of the road, what would be the largest component of that waste stream? Packaging? Would packaging be a part of it?
It looks, Charlie, like single stream to me. That's what that trailer looks like to me, because that's a single stream as garbage. So I want to say this to you, Charlie. I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying. All I'm saying is while we start looking for landfills that are going to take all the waste that we create, right? It's like taking your thumb and putting it up in front of the moon, right? If you stare at your thumb, you're going to miss all the glorious effects of the moon. Let's not stare at our thumb. The problem is waste. Let's reduce the waste and then try to find out what we're going to do with what's left over. All I'm asking for is permission for some kind of enforcement so we can do our jobs to reduce the waste. That's all. I keep beating that drum, and nobody's listening. We're selling tickets to a haunted house on a ghost story. So that's all I'm saying, Charlie. That's all. I don't disagree with anything you're saying. Landfills are a crisis, but it's not just Seneca Meadows. It's all the landfills.
Okay, so all right.
And the permit is not going to get any better. Am I right, Larry?
We seem to all be in agreement, and that's a good thing. What we're missing is Ulster County is a county of 1,100 square miles. Someplace in Ulster County, there's a 200-acre parcel that we could use until we find a better place to go. Because there's going to be residue, and that residue is going to have to go someplace. And I think Tracy Bartels and Dave Donaldson have repeated what I'm saying here. They have repeatedly said we need a landfill. Casey.
So who says they're experts?
Kelly Tuturo, talk about experts. Kelly Tuturo, the executive director of Region 3 of the DEC, has asked us to hire a consultant to see if there is a place in Ulster County that we could develop a landfill. And that's why Paul Rubin and HydroQuest, that's why we engaged Paul Rubin and HydroQuest to see if there is some place. If there isn't, we still have to look for some other place. Okay?
Let me explain how complex this is. We find a landfill tomorrow. You know what we're going to do? We're going to lower the tip fees, right, so the waste comes to us, right? And we're going to bury it and not recycle then either.
Who's projecting that?
Hold on. Let me finish. This is my experience, okay? So now we raise the tip fee, so we increase recycling. But we don't. You know what they do? They just throw it on the side of the road to find places to put it. There's a fine line here, Charlie. All I'm trying to say is let's start off with the easiest thing. We have great laws on the books. Let's reduce the waste.
Wait a minute. You're getting off the subject. There's going to be a residue that has to have a home.
100%.
That's what we're talking about here.
But
there's
going
to be a waste residue that we will have to find a place for.
100%.
Even in spite of all of the efforts that we're making at waste reduction, yes, we should continue to. No, I'm not saying not for one minute take an ounce of that stuff and send it to a landfill. We need a place for all the residue that will not have a home, and we don't have it.
Well, actually, I don't think that we know correct me if I'm wrong, have we done a waste stream analysis so that we know?
I think Charlie could pretty much add all those
numbers. It's hard to do a waste stream analysis because we don't know what's being recycled because we have a dual stream MRF so we can sell product without having any contamination or any rejections. And everything is single stream because it's easy, and when the markets fall back down again, and they will, you'll see a lot more single stream go into the landfills. Let me say this to you, Charlie. A landfill's not going to happen tomorrow. Can we agree to that? Right? Can we agree it's not going to happen next year? Or, Larry, would you say within 5 years? Are we going to have a landfill?
Better than that, Charlie. For the last 35 years, it hasn't happened.
You got that right. So why don't we do this, right? If we can cut the waste in half so we're not spending all this money on fuel and the carbon footprint by not trucking so much waste, we can do that now.
We're right, doing guys. That.
We're
Listen,
not.
This is way off chair's comment.
We're not doing that now, Charlie. We're not.
This somewhere else. We're not. Get going.
Okay. Well, anyway, it certainly...
I'm not trying to be argumentative, Charlie. I'm just saying there's some things
problem,
we can do now.
And we need to figure out ways to try to reduce the waste and meet the public so they know that this is...
Yeah, and I think that Andy does a really great job in doing that.
And in the newspaper could even help us.
Yeah,
so
I
anyway.
Think I can get something out of a 35-minute discussion on this.
I think I think an opening line for your next article should be that on October 4th we had a public hearing for our budget, and guess what? Not one soul from the public came to question what we're doing as far as our budget is concerned. And I think that would make a great byline for your next article. Thank you.
Okay, so we better move on. Approval of the minutes. I did read carefully through the minutes and did not see any errors or any corrections. If anybody has anything.
No, I would move to accept
and
the minutes.
And I will second that.
Charlie Landy moves to accept the minutes, and Joanne Myers seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Ken, are you calling?
I don't think we need a roll call.
Oh, we don't need a...
No, no, I'm talking about roll call.
No roll call for the minutes, I don't think it's needed.
Okay.
Communications announcements, the next regular board meeting is scheduled for November 22nd.
It's very possible I'm out of town that day.
Is that probably the week of Thanksgiving, correct?
It is the week of Thanksgiving, it's the anniversary of JFK's assassination.
Oh, no, I didn't know that. Are we going to have a quorum? I can come.
I can be here.
Yeah, November 22nd, absolutely, I can be here, yes.
Okay, so we'll have a quorum, so we'll continue with that date unless something else interrupts. General report, recycling outreach team program update.
Sherry, thank you. In the month of October, our outreach messaging has been promoting the safe disposal of pharmaceutical waste, noting that National Prescription Drug Takeback Day is October 23rd. So residents can always bring unused or expired medications to the Ulster County Sheriff's Department at any time, and most local police stations also accept medications. They also promote the safe disposal of sharps this month, or home-use medical needles, noting that they can be safely returned to any local hospital or nursing home. The Recycle Right New York campaign has focused on glass this month, and we continue to share their resources as well. You'll see that we did have several tours this month, though our tours are going to be winding down as we get into winter. It's just not safe to have large groups of people walking around outside the grounds, so we may have a couple more before the end of the season. We did plan one fall class for rethinking holiday waste to promote different shopping habits, dinner party planning, other techniques that reduce waste, but due to low enrollment in the class, we unfortunately had to cancel it. Our last hazardous waste collection event was held yesterday here in Kingston, and we had 243 participants, bringing our total for the year to 871 households that participated, so that's great. And the program will resume again in the spring. One of the projects in focus this month that I just wanted to bring to your attention was that we've updated our dual stream recycling guide, a copy of which is included in the board packet. And the recycling industry, we pulled a lot from behavioral science in the recycling industry about what types of messaging is really effective when you're teaching people about recycling guidelines. So we tried to make sure that this flyer was really simple, really colorful, had real images, not, you know, a lot of illustrations. And hopefully we find that the tips that we've included here are really memorable. You'll also note that we are promoting recycling by the shape of the containers rather than by the resin identification code or the numbers, because we found industry-wide in the recycling industry that the number system leads to a lot of consumer confusion about what types of things to recycle. So we hope that this is a big improvement to our last recycling guide, and these are being professionally printed. In the next month, we're also going to have them printed in Spanish as well and distribute them to all the town transfer stations.
These are really terrific. If you didn't look through your packet, they're phenomenal. I printed mine and put them right up on the cabinet where we have our information about recycling.
Thank you. We worked really hard to try to make it as simple as possible. There's so much more information that we would have loved to squeeze in that, but we really have to boil down messaging about recycling so that the messaging is memorable, it's simple, it's easy to understand. And so on the back of the flyer, we focused on some of those top contaminants that Charlie tells us that he sees a lot down there, even in dual stream. So we wanted to focus on like the top 12 things that we want people to know not to recycle, and also educate them about why. Not just tell them, no, don't put that in there, but really try to emphasize the why on that guide. So we're really excited about that, and they should be here hard copies by November 2nd.
I just want to say we did 4 HHWs, and collectively, Tim, myself, you, and Melinda, we decided to close, two down in New Paltz when we're closed, and 2 here at Kingston when we're closed, and I think that's been working out really good. Tim, what do you think?
Mm-hmm. I
think that's been working out really good.
From what I've heard, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot more organized.
The traffic pattern is definitely better because the rest of the facility is not safer. Simultaneously operational. So it's safer in that regard. I wonder about the Sunday events because it seems that we do have quite a few no-shows when we have the events on Sunday. But perhaps we can just do more reminders and try to get ahead of that next year. But
it is more controlled. You don't have people buying compost. You're not dumping, you know, some recyclables. You don't have our roll-offs in and out. I mean, it's definitely more controlled. So I thought Sundays were a really good opportunity for me. Right? I'm thinking everybody's off on Sundays. It was a good opportunity for people to actually make the appointments, not actually show up.
On the public side, what you're discussing, household hazardous waste, is very popular. As a matter of fact, I have people asking, when is the next event? When is the next event? And it was especially, well, the pandemic had something to do with that because we delayed them. But let me ask you both a question. How far along is our education room and the bagging operation coming?
So the once we can find time not to be distracted from other things, we did meet with a couple of contractors to move forward with putting a glass wall up so we can, by this time next year, start bagging, or even maybe in the wintertime, we'll see. We want to dry some stuff out and put some stuff there and start using our bags. So we're not there yet. I got high hopes. I'm waiting for the numbers to come in because I just can't go out and hire somebody. So I'm very optimistic. So I would say by, you know, listen, I hate to give dates, right? Because things happen. It's like if people just leave us alone. I would like to see by, January, February, maybe we can start maybe making some bags of compost, just see how it turns out. Maybe a couple of test runs anyway.
Are we all prepared? I mean, do we have the bags? And
we have all that, Charlie.
You have everything ready to go?
We have everything to go. We just have to, I have to put some electricity in there, and I want to insulate the walls, and I got to put the walls up. We're going to do a lot of stuff in-house, but we're also working on still doing concrete in our compost and bringing our compost up to where we want it to be, our site itself, so there's no runoffs and stuff like that. So we continue to do that.
I'd just like to return to the subject of landfills. There's something else that we're missing here. It costs us $8.5 to $9 million a year to ship and dispose right now, a year. That's a lot of money. That money would go toward developing when and if the time is right, developing the landfill that we're going to have to develop. So there's a big savings to be had here. What I'm saying is, let's advance 5 years. The landfill is up and running, and those budget items that we're talking about, transportation and disposal, will now become money at the disposal of this agency to do the things we have to do. So we seem to be forgetting that.
I think you're out of your board.
You think?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Charlie, I think 5 years is incredibly
optimistic. Oh, no, I didn't mean it to be a hard, fast number. I was just projecting. So let's project 10 years, whatever, okay? But clearly, in that time period, Seneca Meadows is going to shut down. That's our lifeline right now.
Shut down or expand. They're in the process.
Well, that's what the lawsuit with the town of Waterloo is all about.
So if we could reduce the waste and ship more waste, we would save money and the carbon footprint, yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's
true. Yeah.
What I'm saying. Yeah, I think that's what the driving motivation.
Whatever we do is going to cost a lot of money anyway. So it isn't like all of a sudden all this money is going to be freed up.
Don't like I said, I'm going to bring it up one more time, and that's the last time I'll bring it up at one of these meetings. We do not want to wind up like Orange County, spend $53 million, build an entire landfill, get the DEC approval to take waste, and the environmental groups and the politicians.
Larry, was that Alturi?
No. No, it's a county landfill.
It's
across
the
street. Alturi ran to its completion and is capped. They're having some issues with sagging and settling of the landfill. They're talking about bringing a small amount of waste to fix the grade. I'm talking about the actual county landfill. And another thing we should do, we should reach out to the county exec down there who runs their operations. We should go down and look at it. It is a complete landfill. All the cells are built, the pumps are in, the liners are in, and it never accepted one bag of waste. $53 million wasted. because these environmental groups got organized and shut it down.
The lining is in there, and so you can see it, Charlie. Trees are growing through it.
You know, like we're doing calculations, everybody goes, oh, you know, 200 acres, and, you know, so much can fit in per acre. If you see how much infrastructure and how actually little landfill cells are because of your sloping, because of your berms, because of your liner, your pumps and equipment, it's all there for us to see. It's just been sitting dormant since...
Larry, where would you say, if I were to ask you the question, where is Orange County shipping its MSW now, where, would you know?
The same groups of landfills that everybody's using.
Seneca Meadows?
Could I...
Me?
Yeah, can we go back to Angie's report?
Thank you. I thought Angie was... I'm sorry, I thought you were done, Angie. I apologize.
That's okay. This is all good discussion. The last note that I have is just that October marks the end of our grant writing cycle, and so the agency will submit another application to continue to fund our recycling coordination and education program. So the project, I have a notice, approximately $247,386, so we'll be seeking 50% state assistance to further that program in 2022. So.
Oh, excellent.
Yes. What are you any evolution to your pitch, or what are you pitching?
Yeah, we do foresee that we'd like to look at the ways that we're promoting the agency, because we've been really trying to rebrand over the past couple of years. So in our recycling program, we're talking about doing a video production series, possibly working with some students in local colleges to do some long form and short form storytelling about the agency that we could promote in different ways. We're looking at doing more local television instead of in the newspaper, for example. Maybe taking away some from radio because we've been doing that for so long. Looking at doing, you know, reaching audiences in new ways, maybe through podcasts or other types of ways that people are getting information. So really looking at our pool of our audience, and our newsletter is really built up and is really accessible to us, but we're trying to look for that way to push even further and reach even more people and new audiences.
We could do government by Facebook like the comptroller does.
We need to we need more of a direct connection with the community, because the indirect communication with the community is failing. We can't rely on that anymore. So to sit back and rely on the old forms, like I said, of communication, Angie and I had a lengthy discussion on it, and we really need to find a forum that works for us, so we could take that middleman out of here, because the middleman has just been a complete and utter failure for this agency, and it's never going to get any better. So we're hoping with, you know, additional videos, utilizing our social media more, actually, from an educational standpoint. And maybe this possibility of developing our own podcast is a lot more modern, and then people can hear directly from us. I was just over at an event in Dutchess County for for the Rhinebeck Schools. Was doing a STEM event, a science and technology, and I was speaking with the people where the compost tent set up. It was one of the village trustees at Rhinebeck. And we were just chatting, and I was telling them all the stuff we were talking about, and they were like, geez, I mean, this is the information that people would really like to know. This is fantastic. And I said, yeah, we're working on getting that information out, because you're just not going to get it anywhere. You know what I mean? You're not going to get it through the newspapers. This is not going to happen. Not for us, anyway. They stressed multiple times to me how envious they are, not just of Ulster County, but of the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency. And we hear that a lot outside of our county. It's unfortunate we do not hear it inside of our county. We are treated as a liability for whatever reason. And that we look forward to developing our own methods to hopefully realize what an asset we actually are. We'll certainly give it hell, right, Ange?
Absolutely. And you hit the nail on the head, Tim. And there's so many other benefits to doing the podcast. I think, too, we'll be able to have guest speakers that are inside the industry, so that the public can really get an accurate source of information about everything that we're all discussing, because I think they're not getting very good information. Even some environmental groups locally are, you know, spreading misinformation, or it's not quite correct.
So I think having guests that are subject matter experts on all of this stuff will really help amplify the messaging and the information that we have as well as an agency. So that will also, I think, be very beneficial. And of course, we're excited about the new classroom and the opportunities that we could have down there. So you had asked about that too, Charlie. And I think over the winter, since we're not doing tours and we're not doing a lot of classes during that time, you know, that'll be a good opportunity to plan some of those programs and what we might want that to look like in the spring. So
I'm excited about the podcast and being able to have them, you know, on our website so people can access them. Do we have the equipment? Is that something that we need to find money for?
That's going to be a component of the budget for the grant, is to get that equipment that we can only retain and use for that purpose of the
and a room to do those podcasts in.
Yeah, right, Tim, you have some knowledge about what's required.
We've looked into that stuff. We've had initial meetings with staff who will be involved. And, you know, one of the best ideas is doing it when the office isn't running, really. That I think that'll help. But I don't think we need to go to the extent of, you know, putting up the soundproof, say, ceiling tiles or something for better acoustics. I don't think we need to go that far. But, you know, a good mixing soundboard and microphones is going to be really important, and the right kind, so... Yeah.
And I think that in linking it, because right now one of the big things on YouTube, et cetera, is minimalism. Right, we can link that together. I think it's a great idea. Because, again, it's educating the average person. How, you know, what do you do? How do you do it? You know, what decisions do you make at the grocery, at the, you know, clothing store, at Target?
We have to come up with a really catchy name for the podcast. So, you guys think of anything, let me know. Hopefully that answered your question about, so those are some of the new programs that we're going to do. But we're, you know, definitely going to continue the spring classes series, the fall classes, the compost bin sales. You know, some of those traditional ways that we've tried to reach people as well. Like, we'll continue to do some radio projects and some PSAs in the newspaper, but I think working in these other forms of new media could really stretch far.
Are you applying for internships for students to be paid?
We've actually discussed that at great length. I think that is a opportunity that we'd really like to keep talking about. You know, we've looked at, for example, redoing our logo as part of our rebranding, which has been, you know, that symbol forever. So there could be like a digital media intern that could be savvy with podcasts, savvy with marketing, savvy with creating different, you know, logos and emblems and things like that. So that's definitely something, right, Tim, we've kind of looked at. We posed that concept as part of this video project series. Maybe there's a video production student that would like to spend a, you know, longer form time with us, so.
And a virtual tour we discussed too.
And a virtual tour, which during the pandemic we had a lot of requests for that. People couldn't come in, you know, in person to see the recycling center, but they were wondering if we had videos, and we did have some videos, but they're just very, very old. So that'll be really beneficial once we update that.
Okay, are we ready for the MSW tonnage report?
Yeah, both our MSW and our recycling reports, the volume is it's pretty consistent, so I don't really have any items of note on either of those reports. I don't know if anyone has any questions, but it's consistent. Our treasurer's report for the month of September, we did 9,544 tons of MSW. 3,926 tons of C&D. Revenue line items in note is our grants revenue, $34,879. That consisted of payment for our P2I grant, $12,088, and our quarterly payment for the MWRR Recycling Education Grant, $22,791. Gave us total revenue for the month of $1,665,852. On the expense side, if you look at our MRF operations, you'll see that's actually a negative number, and that's just an accounting adjustment because we received the reimbursement for some damage to one of our guardrails down at the MRF. So that was a negative $1,764 for the month. Total expenses, $1,344,245, net operating revenues of $321,607. That additional concrete work that Charlie was talking about with regards to DEC compliance, $17,395. Capital outlay for the month, which gave us a positive fund balance of $304,212. Our year-to-date is at a positive
$341,126.
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Yeah. Do I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion to accept the treasurer's report as read.
I'll second.
Okay. And I'll just say.
All in favor?
Aye.
Passes 4-0.
All right. Our MRF cost center analysis for September. We sold a lot of product last month, so we're a little lower for September. Total sale of recyclables, $44,436. Our T&D for the month, $6,565, and that relates to residuals out of the MRF. Net revenue for the month of $37,871. Personnel expenses for the month, $29,991. And operating expenses, as I had mentioned before, that ended up at negative $1,198 because of an accounting adjustment. So our total personnel and operating for the month, $28,793. Net income for the month, $9,078, and our year-to-date is net income of $142,730. And you see the graphs that support all this, you see that the markets are still high. Yeah. And as Charlie said, they may be increasing as we get towards Christmas here.
Wait, so this is a lot of numbers. Does this mean that this year, considering all expenses, The MRF is net positive?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's like unusual.
Yeah,
and
it's probably been since 2011 that's happened, and it's market related. I mean,
yeah.
Markets are the highest that we've seen in I don't know how long. Ridiculous. Okay. Scary high, as we've always said.
Well, these markets have never, ever been this high. So.
And thankfully, because single stream is still would be a cost, we still get quotes on that. So it's a good thing we've always decided to stay dual stream because we wouldn't have this effect.
So that's my whole thing with the single stream, right? Markets are higher than they've ever been before. I've never ever seen this before. Scary high was always around 55 cents a pound for natural plastic. Now it's up to $1.10. Never ever seen this.
Mm.
It's gonna fall again. It eventually will once we stock the shelves and stuff. Well, the COVID is the response is the culprit of this. So it will fall. It will fall again. So I don't, as long as the markets stay really good, you'll see some good things going on down at our MRF.
Mm-hmm.
The single stream is still a cost. So with the markets being almost triple, there's still a cost to single stream.
Mm-hmm.
If we were to send it down the beach. Mm-hmm. I think it's $27 a ton right now.
It was $28.82 was the last one.
Kelly, would you say that the inflation that we're running into in the grocery store is spilling over into the waste industry?
No, because instead of getting 6.5 ounces of tuna fish, now you're getting 5.75 because nobody looks at what you get in the can. Everybody
you're cutting down
the price.
One less olive.
Coffee, yeah.
Same thing with the oatmeal. Instead
so
of
how can we apply that knowledge to the waste industry?
One less pickle in a jar. Saves millions.
Yeah.
So, I just think the markets, the markets are really good. But there's also a lot of package, and Andy touched on it. Mm-hmm. Even with dual stream, there's contamination. And I think your biggest contamination is your plant shells.
Yeah.
You're always going to get the planters and stuff like that there, and all the shrink wrap and stuff that's really just not recyclable, but neither is the clam shells. Our biggest waste is the clam shells.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What can they replace those with?
Well, there's a lot of things, right?
Cardboard.
So there's some things that you can, like the wooden baskets and stuff.
Yeah, remember those baskets
that
blueberry seeds come in? Mm-hmm.
Right. Shopping at the farmer's market.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, if everybody could. Are we getting impacted by the fact that there's now a glass jar shortage?
I didn't hear anything about that.
Yeah, that one of the problems is that why we're not seeing like glass jars of, ragu.
It's
probably because the capture rate for glass is so low in single stream.
But the demand
right?
for glass.
Yeah. The capture rate is so low, it's almost nothing.
But the demand for glass for new products is extremely low also, so that's why you're not seeing it. It's not like cardboard and junk mail and magazines, you know. It's business 101, right? Supply and demand, you know. Low supply, high demand. And that has an effect on the price. I wish we would go back to more glass. It's safer. You could put a bottle of Pepsi in the refrigerator, the plastic bottle of Pepsi, it'll never get cold. You know, put a bottle of a beer in it, ice cold. And it's safer, too. I don't care how safe the plastic product is, it's going to leach into your food.
It's osmosis. That's why you see the soda go down, and if you look at a grocery shelf.
And so many people freeze like water bottles and stuff. That's so dangerous. You shouldn't do stuff like that. You shouldn't even really let a water bottle, a bottle of water sit on your counter and drink it a couple of times here and there. I mean, it, every time you squeeze it, and it's very thin, right? You ever see how thin the, you know, you're getting stuff into the drink. It's dangerous. Plastic is awful.
The phthalates, I understand, are a real problem. I just got into an environmental program recently.
What was that called?
The phthalates are a particular class of chemicals. They're often associated with fragrances. So anything that you buy in plastic with a fragrance, you got a problem. Because now you're going to put it on your skin, or you're going to wash your hair, or you're going to do something with it. You don't want that. Nobody can use that. I mean, it's crazy.
But every shampoo bottle is plastic.
But these people,
even my bars of shampoo now. Target has them. Yeah, it's like, you know, $10 for a bar of shampoo. Great to travel with. I've been doing that for years.
Kyla uses it, yeah. She's been using bar.
Then there's one for dioxane and all this stuff too. Another chemical, it goes along with the PFAS stuff. It's in almost anything you could wash anything with, like all the laundry detergents and shampoos and soaps and
Kathy, do you think we'll ever eradicate those PF?
No. I have some in my water at my house, like 2 trillion. And there's no way to get it out. I don't know what to do.
Everything. Sewage treatment plant, discharges. Yeah. Anything that deals with any kind of waste, the stuff shows up everywhere. We did a bunch of work at Stewart Field when they were having trouble from their firefighting system.
That's how it got
to the treating their rucksacks. The guys used to spray their rucksacks so that they're waterproof. And I always make the joke, you know, if you're in your 50s, you grew up with Sears Tough Skin pants. And the reason Sears Tough Skin pants were tough skin is because they treated them with the PFAS, so the stains came out of them and they were a little more waterproof. I mean, the material is everywhere.
Remember Scotchgard? Yeah. Same crap.
Same thing. Your mother's curtains, the couch, the carpeting.
Better Living Through Chemistry is really cool.
DEC did an initiative. They went out to all these unlined older landfills and did some monitoring wells, and actually some in this county, and they found the best contamination in the groundwater.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from some years past.
Now, every single hazardous waste site has to sample for it also. So I've sampled 2 sites, and I have a third one on the And the procedures are phenomenal. You can't wear certain things. Well, your clothing has to have been washed like 10 times before you can wear them to go out there. It's special bottles, special paper, special tubing. If you have a pump that uses tubing, oh my God, you wouldn't believe all the rules. And there's so many other contractors doing this that there's no, even though they have all these protocols, doesn't mean that everybody's doing it the same way. So how can you compare the results? But DEC mandated that everybody do it. I would have rather seen the legislature say, here's money, DEC. You hire a group of people who all will follow the same protocols and do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Because now you have an assortment of
our sampling technology has come so far. In the time I worked there, you know, getting something in the part per billion range was pretty impressive back in the day. Today, we're in the part per trillion. We took mercury samples at the old Napara Chemical, and the guy asked me how old I was, because I had amalgam fillings in my teeth, and if you breathe on the sample, you're going to get part per trillion numbers. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's literally that small, their sample. So.
Yeah, parts per trillion. Hard to believe.
Mm.
Okay, I guess we're done with our numbers related to finances and so forth. So we are at administrative matters. Resolutions. Approving the 2022 agency budget.
I don't know, there's no changes to any one of these three resolutions from what was approved back in August. I mean, so I don't have anything to add to any of these.
And as Charlie mentioned, we had no members of the public here for a budget hearing.
I think that's a tribute to what's going on here as far as the operation is concerned financially. You know, but the unfortunate thing is that you'll never read it in the paper because it's not negative. That's a positive.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll go to a vote on that. Resolution 2550 approving the 22 final agency budget.
Okay, so I'll move that we
I'll second.
Okay.
Roll call. Catherine Weinkoffer.
I move David.
Joanne Myers.
Yes.
Charles Landy.
Yes.
Lisa Mitten.
Aye.
Approved 4-0. Tom Kirkandes is not present.
Okay. Here we go.
3-0.
Four? Four. Sorry, yeah. I can't count. Sorry, I didn't count myself.
She's
just
planning, not math.
Oh, yeah, thank goodness I don't teach math. Oh,
no.
Tomorrow's another day.
Now, next resolution, truly a 222 final agency capital plan. Do I hear anyone bringing that to the table?
I motion to approve.
Second.
Oh.
And we'll vote to roll call vote on that.
Okay, I'll vote yes. All right.
Catherine Weinkoffner.
Yes.
Joanne Myers voted yes. Charles Landy.
Yes.
Lisa Mitten.
Aye.
4-0 passes.
I motion to vote on resolution 2552.
What? Anyone second that?
I second it.
Okay, roll call vote. Catherine Weinkoffner.
My favorite.
Joanne Myers. We'll come back.
She'll be back.
Charles Landy.
Yes.
Lisa Mitten.
Aye.
Passes 3-0. We'll just ask her if she wants to yell.
Joanne?
She would be the only one who wanted to.
On the vote.
What is that? Yeah, I was going to ask you.
I hear a yes.
The burn plan.
Sorry. I hear a yes.
Yeah.
4-0.
Sorry, I had to take that.
When did that happen?
Last couple of weeks.
We can find it. Yeah, I had it like longer. I lost service
for 3 weeks.
We're now on old business.
Okay.
That's a yes for Joanne.
Oh, yes, we do. The woman at Bifusion, the plastic glass-making company, I came across her email again and asked her if we wanted to try to go for another conference call. I get the feeling that whatever they're doing in Boise and whatever they're doing in Arizona is very preliminary. I don't think they're really at the point where they have this machine to sell us.
No, they're crowdsourced, Kat.
Yeah.
They don't have investors. It's crowdsourced. Kickstarter.
Okay. Yeah. So, I guess it's no particular busy hurry to try to be in touch with them because we're not going to find out anything.
Did we?
We could do better ourselves to build our own glass-making.
Did we ask them to send us pictorial information about what they're doing? I mean, so we can look at this machine or we can see how it is running while. Maybe they even have a video that we would be interested in. Did you ever ask them that?
I know that they had built a tiny house out of these blocks But then, of course, when you're building a house, what do? You put in wallboard on the interior, and you put siding on the outside, and you put on a roof. So you can't see the damn blocks on the tiny house. And the tiny house is on a trailer, so it can go places. But that's all I know about. I don't have any other information at this point. I don't think they're going to be ready for a long time. We'd be better off to figure out our own way to make plastic blocks, quite frankly. I love the idea, but I don't think they're going to be selling us a machine.
Well, you do know that Fox Block is used in foundations in Kingston now. I mean, not only in Kingston.
No, I don't know this. Who is Fox Block?
Well, let me show you Fox Block.
They had anything to do with the Fox television, and I want nothing to do with them. They better be different.
No, it's styrofoam form inside and out, and the concrete is poured in the center of it. And then, well, here it starts here. Mm-hmm. That's Fox Block. And what it does is it creates, when it, after the
white
concrete,
stuff.
Yeah, the white, mm-hmm. The white foundation.
Okay.
It creates a finished playroom on the inside, mm-hmm. because the inside form becomes the walls in the finished playroom. Charlie, I don't know if you've seen that Fox Block. Have you seen it?
A little bit, Charlie. I'm not very familiar with it.
But that's styrofoam, right?
Yeah, that's styrofoam. That's what it looks like from the outside. And that's the outside form, and then there's an inside form.
I think they're doing that on the corner of Post Street and something right by me. The building house using that.
Yeah, that might very well be.
Yeah.
Because it's being used all over.
Yeah.
Isn't
Post Street and something or other?
Yeah, it's not Union, it's the one in from Union. But Post only goes in one direction.
Charlie, here are some other photos. I think you can flip them up. Still there? See him?
It might be West Union. It might be West Union.
Okay, if we added up all the plastic we actually get generated by this society in Ulster County, how many tons of plastic do we have a month? Considering all that comes and all that goes,
you can't go by that number because everything's single stream. All
that's
along,
true.
You know,
you're
this
right,
is
you're
just
right.
That we feed ourselves mostly at the drop center.
Okay.
And then you got the clam shells and all these other plastic things that aren't recyclable. So it's a hard question. It's,
we don't know.
In the reports we get, right, Ange? You can't even totally rely on that as far as.
That's absolutely true.
We are one of the few places that is actually doing, the little stream recycling left in the region in 7 counties.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reason that our sales are so good for our plastics is that the stuff is such high quality.
Mm-hmm.
You guys went to the single stream plant, it's 30-40% waste. By the time it gets there and it's contaminated and dirty, 30-40% of our volume goes to the landfill.
Yeah. Andy, I know that you calculate some type of number about what's in our waste stream. Do you have that type of number?
Yeah, you had asked before about a waste composition study. So we are engaged in a waste audit going. It's ongoing through Stony Brook Research University. So over the course of 5 years, we'll be uncovering more data about the actual composition of our trash. New York State DEC has proposed some theoretical models that the rest of the state uses, so that information is out there. You know, what exactly is in a ton of municipal solid waste. So most municipalities kind of use that model as a starting point. It's better than nothing. It's not entirely accurate, of course, because each community in New York State is very different.
Mm-hmm.
As far as in Ulster County, we do the annual recycling report, which surveys all the haulers and asks for information, real data, real metrics about their tonnage. But that is recorded as tonnage in a single stream. So then you'd have to apply that model to the weight of what's coming in order to say, 30% of that or X amount of tons is actually plastic. So you can theorize how much plastic is captured that way. But as Larry pointed out, 30 to 40% of single stream is also contamination. So that's also not a good indicator for, like, the regulated recyclable materials in that. Right, and there's also some that aren't captured at all for recycling that go to disposal in the MSW. So you'd have to look at both of those together to really come up with a number. For conversational purposes, yes, you can kind of come up with a number like that, but it's only as accurate as these models can be.
You know, when I was looking through the Bifusion blog people, I also was kind of searching around on the internet, and I came across a lot of people who were making things out of plastic, like 2x4s and things like that, like sort of like home recipes. And you know, there may be a lot more information out there that we're kind of overlooking that might actually be more usable, and somehow something could be created locally. I don't know, but it's another avenue of investigation we might try to consider.
And that would be an activity that did economic development, and
you know, if we could figure out, a company that could start here and do this would be phenomenal. Mm-hmm. It'd be a really great example, and it wouldn't be like giving Romeo Kia free property taxes for the next 10 years or whatever the hell they're considering. I can't believe it.
Okay.
So anyway, that's a possibility, would be that there are some homemade plastic makers of things worth exploring. Okay, new business. Do we have any new business?
We might have some new business coming in this next couple of weeks. Paul Rubin, if he returns from wherever he went, from HydroQuest, and identifies a parcel or two in the county that could initially qualify as a landfill.
It ain't going to happen in the next 2 weeks.
Well, in case it does.
Okay, I'll listen.
Okay.
I'm not saying, I'm not listening.
So what we would have to have the DEC, if in fact one or two parcels are identified with the to the criteria that he's putting into it, then the next step would have to be the DEC has to get involved. And Larry, I think when we were up signing checks the other day, you indicated that a lot of your contacts are no longer out there, that we should go right directly to Kelly Totoro.
Well, like I said, DEC is extremely short-staffed. Most of the guys that worked on landfills and that are long gone retired. So even our Albany staff, there's not a lot of active landfills operating in the state. So, I think regionally, there hasn't been, I caught the very, very end in the early 90s of Alturi operating before it went into post-closure. So, like I said, in this region, Dave Pollock had a little experience because he worked out on Long Island when some of those landfills were still operating. But, it's going to be a long process, Charlie, to go through. And like I said,
they said that 35 years ago, too, and we never did it.
Well, Charlie, even if they came up with one tomorrow, we can only spend $500,000, so where's the money coming
from? Well, that's the next thing. Let's talk about new business. And Dave Donaldson, when he made his State of the County address, specifically said that we need a landfill. So the legislature is prepared. So when we decide how much it's going to cost and we give them the estimate, there should be no excuses as far as they didn't know anything about it, because It was addressed in the State of the County address by the county chairman.
Unfortunately, the county chairman knows nothing about landfills. They don't know the permitting process. They don't know the construction process.
And that's an education. That's something that we need to educate them on. It's all about education.
And I didn't mean that sarcastically.
Plus, he's up for re-election.
We value your opinion, Larry.
It's easy to make these statements but to actually go through with.
Yeah, but let me tell you, Dave Donaldson, and I'm not blowing his horn, however, I do know him a long time. As a matter of fact, we served almost 20 years on the City of Kingston's Common Council together. I do know he's a knowledgeable guy, so I don't think when he said in his State of the County address that we have got to, I think he said something to the effect of bite the bullet. We have got to do it, and so now here it comes. So now when Paul Rubin comes in with one or two potential sites, we could then take them up to the county and make a case for the funding that we're going to need. So, I mean, I know it sounds like projection, but there is a need.
The next to the last pass through the data will be the environmental justice area,
mm-hmm.
which means you don't put a landfill where the poor people live, basically.
And where the endangered species.
And then on top of that, DEC has another site, works by parcels, and it has to do with proximity to hazardous waste sites and endangered species and all kinds of other little
details. Well, I thought that's what we're paying Paul Rubin for.
No, this is the tail end. I mean, he's starting with the whole county and looking at where are there carbonate rocks? That's out. Where are there certain types of soils? That's out.
Okay.
Where is there property owned by the City of New York? That's out.
So
there's a zillion steps.
That's right.
I was just going over the last steps that I'm not sure I've even really given them exactly how to go about those last steps yet. We did get the environmental justice, but the website that the DEC has for parcels is another thing that I have to give him that information.
Okay.
Because he's not on a planning board,
okay.
So he doesn't know that.
Hold it. We're spending $8,000 on this guy.
Right.
So hopefully he's going to come up to something with something that's tangible. Okay.
It's not a feasibility study. Oh, no. It's just a basic data research. That's all he's doing. It's not a feasibility study to site a landfill. We're just looking at potential areas, and based on Bill's last article that we're, not giving coming forthright with the information and stuff, I said I was contacted by two town supervisors that the supervisors in every town in Ulster County are getting together to stop a landfill in their towns.
I've heard that too from the town of Ulster.
So that's what's going on out there behind the scenes that we have no involvement with. And like I said, we haven't even done this is about as preliminary basic as you can get to just basically eliminate all of these other areas and see what's left. I mean, there is a long process involved here, and we're already getting pushed back.
Let me ask you a question. When the thruway came through Ulster County, do you think there was some pushback? And why do you think we have the thruway?
It's not
because by eminent domain we got the thruway. Okay?
Charlie, we hear you. We're gonna get the report and figure out what the next steps are.
Okay.
I have to share that I need to leave in 6 minutes. So
okay.
I don't know if there's any other new business.
I think that's just about everything, right? Anybody have any other matters they want to discuss? Well, I think it was good we got a lot of things out on the table that we really need to be discussing. So even though we had a short agenda, we could get on to significant matters.
Yeah, I think that we're all at the same point. Yeah, we need to reduce the weight.
I'd like to motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second.
Okay. Thank you. All in favor? Voting
aye.
It's an easy.
Thank you.
It's an easy call.
Mm-hmm.